So everyone, you know, this, of course, is the fourth call of the year, sponsored by the National Federation of the Blind Senior Division. And the topic today is the blindness and continuing to write. And I was waiting to hear, and maybe I'll ask here, there's another person from the Writers Division. I'm the former president. My name is Robert Leslie Neal. So I am the former president. But I gave that up last year because there was just time to get some fresh blood in there. And the first vice president, Chelsea Cook, has been communicating with me the last few days. And so then, Chelsea, are you here? All right, so it sounded like she was going to be able to make it, and she was going to take the lead, and I was going to fill in where some filling in needed to occur. But all right, so again, these sponsor calls are great. We're going to share some information, of course. I'm going to talk a little bit. I'll tell you about what the Writers Division is all about, the benefits of being a member, and then we can just let you guys ask questions, because I bet there are some people in here that have written, would like to maybe continue to write, or you are continuing to write, and you can share with all of us on what some of these techniques are. But that's what's great about these forums. But I wanted to say one thing, too. You know, this national senior division, you know, that's on the national level. On the national level, you know, the Federation has 27 different divisions. I just love these divisions because it's where blind folks, people interested in the issues of the blindness, it's where people can split out into some special areas of interest that they have, where they can share, you know, some unique blindness-related how-to-do types of things, give support kinds of things, you know, for, like, being a senior or the Writers Division, if you have any interest in writing. So there would be a place, you know, again, to, because the Writers Division has calls too. It has a newsletter. It has a listserv, just like the seniors does. Then just about any kind of profession you can think of, so like from lawyers to teachers, the public servants, people that work in government agencies and that stuff, they all have listservs too, and they all have divisions within the Federation. And again, that's where like-minded people with like interests can get together and share specifics on, you know, those interest areas, you know, other than just blindness. It's just how you can continue to do some of these things that you've been interested in. And they aren't all, of course, career-oriented. There's a crafters division. People just love to do crafts. And, of course, the senior division, that's a stage of life type of interest. And there's, of course, for younger folks. And just anyway. So it's great that the Federation has these divisions. And we have 27 of them on the national level. And then some states also have divisions, like in Nebraska. That's where I am from. I am the president of the Nebraska Senior Division. And we have calls every month. That's, we have meetings every month on the telephone. And we have a listserv. And we keep in contact, and we cover issues, topics, and we help one another, you know, keep going. So I'm not sure, Ruth, do you have an estimate, a count, just how many other senior state-level senior divisions there are?
I think there are about 5 or 6 right now, so we're hoping to start more.
Yeah, so again, divisions on state level, you'll find that some states have one or more different kinds of division. We have a senior division here in Nebraska, and a student division, and a blind parents division. But anyway, so other states have more.
This is Chelsea Cook. Robert, I'm used to counting backward, and now I got to count forward. But yeah, Virginia actually has all three of those, and then a couple more. You can keep going, and then I'll talk about the writers. How about we do that?
Well, I think I've said about as much as I wanted to say about divisions. I just wanted to, again, just because I'm not sure we really ever covered the significance of what the senior division or the divisions are on the national level, and then there are also state divisions. So I just think they're great places for people that have specific interests, you know, to be and to learn from one another. But so then Chelsea is the current first vice president of the Writers Division. And as I was saying before she came on, I'm the former president. But I think we need to hear from Chelsea because, again, she's, you know, second in command of the current administration of the Writers Division. So she knows more about what's going on within the Writers Division right now. So Ms. Chelsea, talk to the folks there.
I'll try to do my best. So the Writers Division is actually pretty one of the well, it's nothing compared to like the Lawyers Division, for example, which is one of the largest divisions. But we do have a pretty good group, and now that we've started doing a lot of conference calls, we're getting in more members from different areas of the country. Who may not be able to make it to our big meeting at National Convention. And so it's really just kind of, I think Lori Stayer said it best, when it started as a place for writers to kind of hang their hat. And it's neat because you can do other things besides writing, but so you can be a part of more than one division. You can be a part of as many as you want. But the Writers Division mostly focuses on writing of any kind, whether you do, most people do fiction or nonfiction or memoir. We have a couple playwrights, but I think those are the sort of minority genre, and then, of course, poetry. So whatever you write, or want to write or are thinking about, we generally have people to do it. We have an email listserv. It's called Stylist. And people talk about writing there or writing techniques. People post what they write and get feedback on it. So if you guys are on email, there's definitely that. And then we do a magazine every quarter, kind of to go with the seasons, called Slate and Style. And in that, we do some seasonal theme pieces, but also just some pieces about writing or book reviews or whatever people want to submit. And you can find a lot of this information on our website. If you just search for Writers Division on the NFB website, it will come right up because it's part of the NFB site. So they've done that. And there you can find the past issues of Slate and Style. They go right up. Or you can find guidelines about how to get into it if you want to submit something to the magazine. We tend to be pretty informal. And actually, we need more submissions, always do. And that magazine is distributed online. We couldn't continue the print or the braille, but it's definitely distributed online, and you can read it that way. The other two main things that we do would be our teleconferences and our writing contests. So we have a couple different. We have a monthly gathering teleconference where at the end of each month, the last Saturday of the month, or Sunday of the month, excuse me, except for holidays and convention coming up, we have a guest speaker. So someone will come and talk about writing. We had the coolest one, I think, this year was we had a person from Israel come on and talk about comic book writing and how he could do audio comic books for the blind. And so that was really interesting. It was also really interesting because he had to get up at like 3 something. But he did it and it was really cool and he seemed really enthusiastic about it. So it was really great to do that. And then sometimes they'll have, you know, for the students in college, sometimes they'll get their writing professors on. I did that one year. And it just really kind of depends on what, who we can get, what we can get, you know, if people from this division are interested or if anyone already does writing more from the kind of how do you do it when you're newly blind perspective, then we could, we'd definitely love to have you on and talk about it. I think that is somewhat of an issue because it's kind of the transition stage, but you still want to keep writing, definitely. And then the other thing we do is our writing contest, which just closed for this year, but it is generally open from January to April. And there are categories, fiction, nonfiction, which includes memoir, poetry, and then a new category that recently came out called Stories for Youth. And so it's basically like children's stories written by adults for children. So like if, you know, you have a grandchild or something and you tell them stories all the time, well, write one of them down, send them in, and you could win money. So those are our generally main activities that we do sort of outside the convention or not in the business meeting. And there are also instructions on the website about how to become a member. If you become a member, then you definitely can get Split and Style and all kinds of other cool things ahead of time. Is that good, Robert? Do you want me to go into something more in more detail, or do people have questions?
I was going to also say the writing contest. There's also a section of it for blind youth. So it's for adults and for youth. And, of course, they,
right.
Yeah, so that part's really great, too. We're trying to encourage young folks to
submit their stuff in Braille.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm not sure if the Writers Division has it right now, but there used to be a critiquing service. You know, we have a couple of members that are very good at editing and just analyzing someone's writing and give suggestions on just where and how to improve, you know, the writing. So
I think the members who are still doing it are still interested in doing it. We just haven't had any submissions for a while.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to advertise more, but those are our main things, what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we could see if there are questions from anyone.
Are there any writers here this afternoon? And are you still writing, and how are you doing it? Or maybe you're not, and you'd like to get back into it, so... This is a time you could ask some starting questions.
I certainly know that blind people have written for magazines, and there is at least one or two people who have worked for newspapers. So blind people are working in journalism in many different areas, also fiction and nonfiction. And I know that they have spoken at the convention and different times, and certainly written in the Braille Monitor different articles. So writing really can encompass a large area of not only genre but medium, that especially today with, you know, you could really say a blog is writing also.
Yeah.
For those people, if anyone is blogging, that's certainly a popular, maybe new form of writing, but is certainly available, and I'm sure there are people that are doing that.
I mean, depending on which... Hello.
I just want to say good afternoon, Carl Jacobson.
Yes.
That's all. I just want to say good afternoon.
Okay,
I don't know what you're talking about. I just came in.
Good.
Sure. Good to see you, Carl. Yeah, depending on whose blog you read, a lot of them, actually, a lot of the bloggers are quite good writers. I mean, if you just think about it, the
access code.
I don't know if people are interested in reading it, but the book The Martian that just got turned into a movie, that actually started as a series of blog posts, and then people just liked it and wanted it in different formats, and then it was selling really well, and then it's a book. Now it's a movie. So, I mean, So blogs are definitely ways for writers to get started.
Talking about state divisions, you know, Colorado has a senior division, and they have a newsletter. I forget how often it comes out, but I have gotten on their list, and I do get them as the president of the Nebraska senior division, and I always make sure that our members here in Nebraska get a copy of that newsletter for them to read. So that, and I'm sure if I'm remembering, I don't recall all the authors, but definitely some of those authors are seniors writing about, you know, blindness, about their lives. So, in fact, Ruth, haven't you at times kicked around maybe a newsletter for this, you know, senior level?
Yes, we sort of had a newsletter a few years ago, and then anyway, it's something we might revisit. But I also think that it's sometimes are changing now, where we do have the listserv and we do have our webpage. So maybe that would be the way to, you know, for people to write and to submit information and stories and information that they want to share with seniors. I wondered, Chelsea, if you have advice on publishing or marketing when people do have material that they've written, how they might go about pursuing either of those avenues.
So it depends on the material. I don't have a lot of personal experience with this, but this is a question that gets mm-hmm. asked on Stylist a lot. And I'm sorry, who is that I'm talking with?
Oh, Ruth Sager.
Oh, good to see you. Anyway, the question on Stylist gets asked a lot, and it really depends on the material. So if you have poetry or shorter pieces, sometimes it's easier to look at getting them published in magazines, either Slant Style, or I know Breath and Shadow and Magnets and Ladders are another two that come up quite frequently in the blind community, but there are also, you know, the mainstream magazines out there. I don't know if there's one specifically for seniors, but I know that the marketing and publishing is definitely a piece of it. And then if you have more like manuscript length work, then there are a bunch of resources about how to try and get in with that. But like you were saying, times are changing, and depending on who you are and what you're doing, and how much, you know, if you want to make any money or not, self-publishing is really taking off. I know that Jerry Whittle and a couple others have really done a lot with self-publishing in Amazon, and that's kind of the way that mm-hmm. they choose to do it.
So in a way, blogging or some such form might be a good way for someone to start out to showcase what they're doing and advertise the kind of work they're doing and kind of go from there.
Right, and then kind of get their name out there,
mm-hmm,
if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Internet's a big place, but mm-hmm, it just kind of depends. But yeah, more the blogging or the e-self-publishing, I would say, would be two good options.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if they have something already that they're interested in, they can jump on Stylist and ask there of more veteran publishers or authors who have been published.
This is Estelle.
Go ahead, Estelle.
I wondered if you know of any publishers in this country that publish Braille and print together in a book. That's partly what we're doing, and it's difficult finding somebody, you know, that does that.
The Twin Vision book from the...
Yeah, well, is it APH or NBP who does those? I think NBP might do those.
APH does, but it's pretty expensive, so...
Yeah. How about American Printing House or the National Braille Press? Any?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked to them, but you know, when you're just doing a print book, a lot of times you can submit a manuscript to a publisher, and they'll just, you know, if they like it, they just take it and run with it. But I don't know of any place that does that if you're doing Braille. you know, you either have to self-publish it or you have to pay for everything.
Yeah.
I think those are the two main ways to do it, though, unfortunately. The other thing, depending on who your audience is you might just choose to get it published, and then once it's published, either get it transcribed or just throw it on Bookshare.
Mm-hmm. What is Bookshare?
As an author, you can do that.
How does Bookshare work? What is that?
So Bookshare is a website that offers electronic Braille files and Daisy and audio and some audio like MP3 synthesized type audio, not human recorded audio of books that, I mean, they have hundreds of thousands of titles now, and I think as an author you can sign up with them or get your publisher to make sure that your book is in their collection, and then they convert it for you and they put it in electronic Braille format, and then they put it up on the website for any of their members to download. You can, if you want access to it, you can pay $50 a year to get All You Can Read, which is a very great deal. Or if you're a student, it's free, which is even better. So I, as a student, I use Bookshare all the time, but I also use it a lot for pleasure reading. It's kind of my go-to thing. I will actually go to Bookshare first before going to NLS or Learning Ally or any of those other sites, depending on what the book is and what I'm looking for.
So if you put something on Bookshare and they put it into Braille, now that is used by connecting a Braille device to the computer? Is that how that works?
Yes, or you can emboss their files if you have a Braille embosser.
Carl,
okay.
Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
Carl?
Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, in addition, is that, I forget who was talking about Bookshare, but Bookshare would also make it available in a normal text format also, so you could read it with JAWS. Is that not right? Is that not true?
This is Chelsea Cook, and yes, they did add that feature some time ago. You can read it with JAWS, or you can read it, I think, on the web.
So it's available in all kinds of formats?
Yes.
The
only format that it's not available in is human narrated audio.
Right.
Okay, Estelle, this is Ruth. I think I've thought of a couple things, you know, sitting here thinking. In order to answer your one question about who does Braille and print, the printing presses that I'm aware of, as you noted, were American Printing House for the Blind, the National Braille Press, Braille Institute of America in California, and in Stuart, Florida, I think they're called International Braille something. And then I thought of Seedlings also. I don't know if they would work with you on that, but Seedlings might. That's in Michigan.
They do I'm sorry, Ruth, but Seedlings does all of the children's Twin Vision books. So if your book is for that audience, they might do it.
Right.
So you have to have a published book for them to do it. I don't think they take, you know, new manuscripts.
I don't know. I'm just throwing out an idea. They may only take published books. I don't really know the answer to that. If they would, work with
that.
I can't think of any other entity other than if it's worth your while to get a Braille embosser, and then you could do your own, you know, really sort of like self-publishing.
Right. Well, we're not to the point where we can afford
that yet. Yes, I can understand that, but that's what I might.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the information.
In that, if you want Braille and print, you know, in the same book, and it is a children's book. Now, National Braille Press does often get, grants from different agencies to help them offset the cost of doing what they do. So, that might be another avenue that you could look into to see if...
If you have your own funding, they'll probably take
yeah.
you, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know.
All right. Thank you.
I can't think of anything else. I wish I could.
I mean, I know there's a place in Georgia that's run by Georgia Tech, but again, I don't know if that's more, that might be more towards the university scene than just regular publishing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a good company up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that did our first book for us. But that's then you run into a lot of customs, you know, shipping
yeah.
comes back
mm-hmm.
and forth. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to explain again to people what you're doing? Because some people have joined us. So since
okay.
we first started talking, Estelle, so that, you know.
Sure. My name is Estelle, and I've joined with John Batron here in Denver and Littleton. And we started a company. It's called Ambron Products. And our purpose is to produce and sell books and games and other items that can be shared by the blind and the sighted. And our first book out is it's like a coloring book. It also can be a reading book. And it's called I Am a Crayon, What Color Am I? And we had this published we had it produced in Canada because that was the only place we could find at the time that would be able to do it for us. And so we're selling that. It has Braille and print, Braille large print and tactile pictures in it that can
mm-hmm.
you can just read it or you can color in it. If,
mm-hmm.
you know, for instance, if a grandparent who is losing their sight wanted to share it with their grandchildren who are sighted, then they would both be able to color in the book and both be able to read it. So those are the kinds of things that we're interested in doing. And it's just kind of slow starting because I am pretty ignorant as far as marketing and publishing and that. So I appreciate all the suggestions and information that we get.
Estelle, this is Chelsea. Someone you might want to talk to from an author and an education perspective is
mm-hmm.
Noreen Grice. She
Noreen?
Does a lot with, yes.
And what was the last name again?
Grice, so Greice.
Okay.
She does a lot. She's in Connecticut, and she does a lot of accessible astronomy. But in that, she's written books. And she really makes sure that they're accessible to everyone. So her graphics all have print labels on them, and the book is in large print and Braille. Her first book, I know, was done by NBP. Her subsequent books, I think, were done by a company called Ozone Publishing, but I'm not sure. You'd have to check with her on that, but. As an author and an educator, she might be interested and might be able to connect you more with the marketing side.
Great. Do you have any kind of a contact for her?
Yeah, I think her website is You Can Do Astronomy, so you can find her email there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate all the help we can get.
Mm-hmm.
John.
Okay. Good afternoon, John. So are there any other questions about writing or comments, or does anybody want to share what type of writing they might do and what success you've had in either publishing it or reading it or being a part of the writer's division?
Well, this is Estelle again.
Mm-hmm.
And John that just got on is my partner, and
good.
He doesn't realize that I've already told you quite a bit about our company. But
okay,
also,
good.
He has entered the Braille Writers Contest, and he has
good,
had,
good.
He's
but again, Stella is wrong because I have been on. I was on at the very beginning. I had to leave, and I just got back. So I was glad that Estelle was on here already, so I didn't have to ask all the questions. So I thank you a lot, Estelle, for coming up. And I did hear some of the comments that were made, and I appreciate some of the input you guys give us. So thank you.
And that's what the Federation's all about.
I mean, as far as reading work goes, I'll just make a couple comments on that. It depends on how you do it. If you read Braille, I find that can be the easiest and the quickest way if you read Braille well. I don't know, a lot of you may have just been learning it or may not want to, so that's fine. But I also know that people, they take like a Victor Stream with them and they turn it on and they get to the point where they want to read and they have it in their ear and they're just repeating what the Victor Stream is saying. I've never gotten used to that, but I've been a Braille reader all my life, so I never had to. But I will say that, you know, even public readings or poetry readings, it's nice to go to them and it's nice to be a part of them. It's just kind of that community. And if that's what you're looking for, then that will be good. That's actually how I got started with the Writers Division years and years ago, which is kind of odd to say, but Robert probably remembers that.
Certainly do.
So, you know, to be a sort of successful author, even fulfilling yourself and that obligation as a writer to share what you've done, you know, you don't have to be published to do that or to feel that confidence. You can go into a room and share your work and have people come up to you and enjoy it or tell you that they like it or just have that feeling and that... that's a really great feeling to have.
I know one of a couple of people who were motivated to learn to use the computer because they wanted to write. And
mm-hmm.
One lady, when she realized that she could type and it would tell her what she was typing, she hadn't really typed before when she could see. So her motive, and she thought, oh, it's really difficult. I won't be able to do that. But when she discovered that she would be able to hear her typing, then she said, this gives me much more independence, because what she was doing before was recording in, you know, what she wrote and then sending it off to somebody to type it and then sending it to be, and then she had to have it proofread and then send it off to the publisher or whatever. So now she could type herself and at least do some proofreading herself, even she's made of still had a proofreader, but it meant that she had a lot more control on her editing and so forth in a timely fashion, because she could be more independent, being more involved in the whole process of her writing, and that gave her a great deal of pleasure to be able to do that. And one gentleman was, he also was motivated, he wanted to do some research on his father during World War II and where he had been and his participation in World War II. And so he was now able to do the research and to get the information and then be able to write, you know, whatever he was writing for his family or himself or whatever.
Oh, cool.
But so those were some motivations for people to, you know, to learn how to type and to learn how to use the JAWS commands or, you know, be more proficient with a computer. So, it can be helpful to have some motivation, whatever that is, to, you know, to tackle the elephant, because sometimes when we're faced with something new, it that's what it seems like at first, is that big elephant that I'll never be able to do all these things. And by thinking of one thing that you can do, it leads to something else, and that may go into something else. So in the end, the elephant isn't that bad. I know Dr. Jernigan used to say you eat the elephant one bite at a time, and I sometimes remind my students and myself of the same thing, because I'm sometimes overwhelmed by technology, and I think I have to learn. I'm going to have to learn how to use an iPhone soon, so that's my big challenge, to be able to do that. But writing can be very pleasurable and also you know, when you can write down your thoughts and either share your ideas with others or for your own pleasure. Sometimes people write because it just gives them satisfaction, whether it's their own journal or some things that they share with their family, or, again, desire to reach out and have a medium to communicate with other people. So there's a big wide spectrum of how we can use writing to communicate with other people and sometimes just with ourselves.
This is John?
Yes.
That's sort of like what it was like for me. I have RP, and I've been going blind slowly for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So more or less myself, I was telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
People, like my wife, would ask me to tell her a story. My grandchildren always asked me to tell them a story. And so and all of a sudden I decided I was blind enough. I was kind of illiterate, so I couldn't read or write very good. So what I started doing was learning Braille. And after I learned Braille, it opened up a whole new world to me because I could start writing my little stories down. And consequently, because of it, I now am always thinking about writing some little story for kids or whatever. That is what prompted me into writing my first book, I Am a Crayon, What Color Am I? And because of it, I write a lot of little short stories for kids. Hopefully I'll get them published someday with the help of Estelle, of course. And so now I even though I can't see print, I do operate a computer a little bit, but I don't use a computer enough to write my stories. I actually put them in Braille because that's the easiest way for me, and I give them to Estelle, and because she still has enough eyesight and she knows Braille also, that she takes my Braille words and puts them into print to be able to send them to these publishers and stuff that I deal with. So so that's basically sort of like doing the computer. I only more I do it in Braille, so
John, that's a really good John, this is Chelsea from the Writers Division. That's a really good story, and even the story of your first book and how you got started, I think that would be interesting for the division to hear. So if you want, definitely contact me or Eve Sanchez, our president. We'd love to either have you write it up or find a way to get it in print and style, or maybe have you on as one of the monthly telephone conference calls. I think you came on after we started talking about that, but if you want to come on and talk about it, we'd love to hear what you were saying.
I appreciate that. Now you're scaring the crap out of me.
No. We're a really informal group. I mean, honestly, even when we don't, and I forgot to say this, but when we don't have a speaker for a month or it's convention, or we can't find one, sometimes we'll just have the members come on and talk about reading or writing or poetry or what they're doing, and it's some really fun conversations. So it's a really good group and a really good time. It goes about an hour and a half, depending on where you are and how late you want to stay up. But you're in Colorado, so it shouldn't be a problem. But
I've heard of you guys a lot, and I really respect a lot what you do, and anything I can help
you should come on.
I'd be glad to.
Yeah, you should jump on board. This should be fun. It'd be great to have you.
Thank you. I'll see what I can do.
Actually, this is Estelle again. Actually, in our current senior newsletter that just went out, and some of you will be receiving it, has an article by one of our other seniors about this company that John and I started. So you might find that interesting too. So.
Great.
Yeah, Robert, send that to me, will you?
Yes, because Estelle, I think I do get what you're speaking of, right? I do get a newsletter from Colorado. I'm not sure how often it comes out, but
it's just three times a year at this point.
Okay. So I bet I'll see that coming up here pretty soon. Yeah, because I know that John has entered the Writers Division yearly writing contest in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen something from John in the past. So,
right.
All right. So I think we have his contact information somewhere. But yeah, that the upcoming little article in that newsletter, that will be great to grab a hold of,
right.
And I can make sure that Chelsea and Eve get that.
This is Shelley. I can send that to you, Robert. I just got that in the mail, in my email the other day, and I haven't read it yet, but I just got it in the last day or two, so I could send it to you if that's
yeah,
helpful.
I do, because okay, good. Yeah.
Okay, all righty.
Yeah, and I was going to say, if we went, this is Ruth, when we, as we're signing off, if you want to stay on the phone, a few of you to get to swap information, you could do that. And, John, I would say, you know, you, your art of storytelling, don't lose that either, because it's, I think it's a real talent that people have who can really tell stories. And people, that's an ability that that is worth retaining and having. And so writing is wonderful to have it, but it's also wonderful to have the oral storyteller who can really tell stories too. And sometimes that's a wonderful way to capture a person and their ability. So sometimes it's worth recording some of those stories just so your friends and family and so forth have those stories in your own way of conveying those, you know, that's an important thing too. So, are there any other questions or comments on this?
They're not comments, but
okay.
And this is the first time I've had a chance to drop in on one of these senior calls,
mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make time to try to drop in on more, because I find this is just another avenue of the Federation that I haven't explored. Anyway, I know you guys obviously have explored it, but I haven't had the chance to explore it. And I got an email, and I said, I'm available that time of the day. This happens to be a time I can do it, so I'm going to do it, and I did it, and I think I want to do it some more. And Ruth, I'd like to talk to you about the division, but I'll probably give you a call in a week or so.
Okay,
before National.
Okay, wonderful. Do that. Sure. Great. Okay. Well, I want to thank Chelsea very much and Robert for setting up this topic. And we do have conference calls, and we're always looking to see what people might be interested in, what topic, and then looking for moderators to facilitate such a conversation. We do record these calls, and we do put them on our web page, our senior
sure.
web page. There also is a playback number. If people want to listen to the call via telephone, that's also possible. So for people who don't have computer, the playback number is 712-432-1202.
Mindy, could you take this?
And then you will be asked for the access code, which is the same 759633 pound. And I think this will be number 16. They call it, then they'll ask you for a reference number, and I think we're up to 16 now. So that if you wanted to listen to this conversation again, you could. And I thank everyone who participated. I thank those who were listening. And we will. This is our last call before the convention, and when we have a new set of calls, either for the fall or the spring of 2017, we will advertise those on our webpage and also on the list, senior listserv. So I thank everyone very much. The senior division is going to be meeting at the National Convention in Florida on Thursday, the 30th, we will be having a recreational seminar on games and adapting games at 1 o'clock. And on Saturday, the 2nd of July, we will have our senior division meeting at 1 o'clock. So hope to see some of you there. And, again, we will probably put that information on our webpage as well. So thank
I'm sorry,
you.
I hung up without
afternoon.
Saying goodbye. I hit the wrong button on
okay.
my phone. So I want to say have a good day to everybody. And I'm sorry I hit the wrong button.
Instead
of unmuting myself, I hit the hang-up button.
Yeah.
Can we have a seminar on using the phone?
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, everybody have a great day, and we'll see y'all in Orlando, I think it is, this year.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
I think Orlando. I think we've been there once or twice. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you all in a few weeks.
Okay, very good.
Take care, everybody.
And if anybody needs to communicate as we're hanging up, you can stay on and get in.